This morning, we are going to be looking at lying words that destroy people's faith. And part four, we have looked at the obvious here. Now, you hear people say that they're seeking the truth. This is their great thing here. Everybody wants to be so proud of the fact that they're seeking the truth. Well, they say things like that, or they say we're searching for truth. Come to this church, we're searching for the truth together. Search for the truth together. Or someone would say, you know, if you come to this church, we'll discover the truth together, you know. We're on the road to truth. And I know this is going to sound arrogant, maybe to the new folks or anybody else that's out there, but we have the truth. We have the truth in the fact that it's the King James Bible. It's not because the Holy Spirit has indwelled upon us to give us this anointing in 1 John chapter 3, which is for the tribulation, which is what they'll need to have. We don't have that kind of anointing. It's just King James Bible. When people say that we have the truth, they think that we are saying that we, personally, in my own mind, because we have the mind of Christ, that whole confusion thing, we are not the truth. We don't have the truth. We have the truth in a King James Bible. And that goes against anybody that doesn't believe in the King James Bible. But if they would ever just sit down and study and compare the verses that are missing and that are taken out and the text that are changed and all this kind of stuff with the King James Bible, they would figure out that something's not right here. We can't have all these different Bibles and they all say different things. It isn't the fact that we have these man-made religious books and then God gets into our hearts and teaches us the truth. The truth is in this Bible. We account ourselves to this Bible. We look to this Bible for our final authority. And we find out that this final authority isn't just a list of do's and don'ts. We have the truth in this King James Bible. There was an editorial in our small little paper the other day that said this lady pastor is going to try to do everything she can to live the words of Jesus. She quoted Matthew 5:9, you know, be a peacekeeper. You know, when a child of God, need to be a peacekeeper and do good unto others, et cetera, et cetera. And then she signed her letter, peace. You know, these people that sign, give you the victory sign, say, peace, brother, and all this kind of stuff. They think that that's what makes them the Christian. No, it's not. Faith in Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. We have the very words of Jesus Christ after He rose. Not because Jesus is speaking to me personally, because we have Him in the King James Bible. You just look to Paul, and you've got everything that Jesus taught to the Gentiles. Jews are welcome to jump in, but they're not going to get it. To the Gentiles, and they're welcome to it, find out what Jesus not only did for us, but we will read from Paul what Jesus did to us. And people don't get that. I mean, Jesus Christ rose, yes, do you believe that? Well, sure we do. Okay, then why not listen to His teachings after He rose? None of this stuff is in the Gospels. That was taught to the Jews. We all know this stuff. I'm just kind of sparking my mind here. Was taught to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. And then when Christ went to Paul, the apostle, our only apostle, after those other 12, then there's what we learn from the risen Savior. Everybody believes that Jesus rose, but they don't study what He said after He rose. Talk about rejection. So anyway, so this whole series here is a short one, is based on the fact that there are good words. He says fair speeches. It's called enticing words of man's wisdom, flattery, feigned words, which are made up. They're just to show people. They represent falsely. It's a devised bunch of words that try to perk people, you know, invented. Swelling words of vanity. And they're spoken by great personalities. And we know we go to church. People go to churches because of the pastor, not because of what's taught there. People will go to Bible, bad attitude Bible blowouts because they want to see somebody draw. They don't want to hear what he has to preach. Or they want to hear his stories or something. Then we've got malicious. These words are malicious, and they're vain, and they're perverted. So of those 10 descriptions of the words that deceive people, 7 of them are good. They're good words. They're fair speeches, it says in Romans 16. They're enticing words of man's wisdom. Oh, man has got so many degrees. We know so much, and we get enticed. And they flatter. They flatter people to come to this church and hear this stuff. You're such a good person. Oh, God loves you. All this kind of stuff. So the first session we looked at five verses in the Gospels of where Jesus said, listen, if you pray in my name, or if I'm in you, or my words are in you, and you believe, I'll answer every prayer you ask. I'll ask everything you ask in my name, believing. Now, how come those prayers aren't answered? It's very simple, because we learned in John chapter 6 that whole thing was written to the Jews then, and it will come to effect again after his coming, his second coming. He says that in John chapter 6, or is it 16? Anyway, look up the notes if you want to check it out. So, we don't disbelieve the Gospels. It's just that the Gospels aren't written to us. And they will tell people what it will be like after the second coming. So yes, those prayers will be answered, but not today. So Paul preaches about prayer. So we learn how pastors and people are preaching lying words from the pulpit. They're preaching good words, fair speeches. And they're enticing people. They're flattering these people. And they're making up their own stuff. And they got some great personality, fancy suits, you know, and good credentials, all this kind of stuff. Been to school and all that. And they're just swelling words of vanity. Today, we're going to look at what these lying words will do to us. Now, we know that they'll rob us of our faith because people listen to these things. They listen to those verses about prayer, and then they find out that those prayers are not being answered in their lives, and they've done everything they should according to the Gospels, and so they quit. They give up. They turn aside after Satan, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 5. So, these good words and these fair speeches are destroying people, and they're giving them another Jesus, and on it goes. But this morning, we're going to look at what these words do to us. Now, I was thinking, you know, here we are. We're going to teach something that will show us how to be not deceived. And I'm thinking, from what I watch other people and myself and everybody else today, and all the things in the news about the tribulation and they're talking about taking the mark. You have a spray-on tattoo they can spray on you in the hospitals now, and they got the chip ready to go and. The economy the way it is, and the great fall, the apostasy that's taken place with standards and Christianity, and it's just a mess based on the King James Bible. In fact, the Hebrew scholars have now proven the fact that Revelation does not belong in their book. And we learned about 10 years ago that when they start taking out the book of Revelation, we know we're getting close. And we won't get into the details of that thing. So Romans 11:22 must be getting closer, where God's going to cut off the Gentiles. That's the rapture, because they're done. They don't want to hear about the goodness of God. And the goodness of God is only preached by Paul. So we're finding out that people are not interested in this. And so my point this morning will be, sure, these are words that they'll tell us what will happen to us, but I think we probably should just look at this thing and look at these words and see what happened to us. What's happened to people? Why have they gone the way they have? Why have they made the changes they have changed? Why have we changed our standards? Why have we accepted more than we did 2 years ago? Why do we allow more? Why have we compromised? Why have we... what's that stuff in Jeremiah? It says... I got to find it up here. It's on the tip of my tongue, but that doesn't mean anything. I probably can't find it anyway, but... Jeremiah says it really well. He says, Where's it at here? Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? That's what we do. We do that today. We just trim our way. What's way? What way are we trimming? The way of the risen Savior through Paul. We're trimming that thing to seek love. We want friends. We want fellowship. We want happiness. We want everybody to quit being mad at us, and we want them to get it, so we give them something except the Bible, because we know the Bible will make them mad. So we give them something else. What's with that? We are trimming our ways to seek love, just like Jeremiah was preaching. So let's look at these words and see what's happened to us. And some of these have already been over, but they're really quite interesting by the time we get done with this thing. If you listen up and check those verses and look at those verses as our final authority, let's see what the scriptures tell us is what's happening to Gentiles today that are falling for another Jesus, which is Paul's biggest concern, that the pastors in the churches, which are ministers of righteousness, but they belong to Satan, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, or 1 Corinthians, and why people are believing them, Well, we know it because they're good words, fair speeches, enticing words of man's wisdom, flattering, feigned, well, swelling words of vanity, and spoken by great personalities. Yet they're malicious, they're vain, and they're perverted. And what's happened to us? What is happening to us? What's happening to everybody? But even happening to us if we're not careful. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, number 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. I'm slow this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 says here, "Let no man deceive you with vain words." There's our vain, you know, words, swelling words of vanity, vain words. "Now, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Now, so what these words will deceive us. So we know that. This is what this whole title is how are we being deceived? This morning we're looking at what happens to us with these words. Well, we'll be deceived. But look at verse 6 again. "For because of these things," what things are those? Well, you go up there and you see foolish talking, you see whoremonger, no unclean person, covetous man, idolaters. We see that those things are wiped, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience, he calls them. Children of disobedience. Not because they're just not obeying the book, but they're rejecting everything that Christ is. You go up to verse 2 and 3. So, these deceiving words not only deceive us to fall back off of Paul, they will deceive people into thinking they're saved. And they're not. "For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children." So, they're still going to receive the wrath of God. Does the wrath of God fall on them right now, like it says in John, 1 John? It says 1 John. Let's see if I can find that one here. I'm just winging the brain this morning. 1 John. What am I leaving looking for? I kind of forgot it already here. "Oh, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Oh, really? Well, those people are still alive. How about the wrath of God abideth on them? So all these verses, and here's this one that says, "Cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." See, it says "cometh." The wrath. There's the importance of the word cometh. Romans chapter 2 tells us that lost people don't have the wrath of God. He's still got that long suffering to give them the chance to find the truth and to be saved. So there's no wrath of God upon the lost people today. There's no judgment on people today. All this weather and all this, that's not God's judgment. The climate, the global warming is a bunch of baloney, but it's still a climate changing. That's not hard. That happens over history. That's not a big deal. Is God messing with the economy? No, we do it all by ourselves without him. Is God messing with the schools? No, you kick them out. And you know, it's funny though, because God can still be in the schools, individuals. But anyway, so we see number one, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. It's just these words that keep some from really truly being saved when they think they are, but they're not. They have another Jesus, according to Paul, of course. Here's another one, Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4, and it says here, "And this I say," all the verses before this here, but he says, "This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Now, let's look up the word beguile. To elude. To elude anything disagreeable by amusement. In other words, to trick somebody into believing something or doing something by fun. That's the definition. To elude by craft. To elude anything disagreeable by amusement. So, when we're out there having fun, we can be doing something wrong, according to Paul. And again, all things are lawful. But is it going to cause somebody to stumble? Is it edifying? What edifying was in what you just did or what you're going to do? Is it going to cause anybody else to stumble? Well, that's their problem. No, that's your problem. Somebody sees you doing this now or whatever. Is it just because is an occasion for the flesh? Was it a fun time? Were you beguiled because it looked fun? Is it a power over you? Those are the things that... All things are lawful. Nothing's unlawful. I mean, all things are lawful. But we can be beguiled into doing something we shouldn't be doing because of amusement, because of the fun. And we'd be beguiled. So these words, these good words and fair speeches, enticing words of man's wisdom, and these flattering words, these feigned and these swelling words of vanity that are spoken by great personalities, they'll deceive people and they'll beguile you. How can you disagree with something that sounds fun or it's been presented to you in a fun manner? Well, we've been beguiled. We don't stay out of that. We get out of this Bible. We stay away from reading Paul's books and reading about it and learning and studying and trying to apply them into our lives to serve the living God more and more. We're being beguiled by the high tech, by the fun of stuff, the television, the movies, the special effects, this amusement, and we're being beguiled. Let's go here to 2 Timothy. How do you know you're being beguiled? You got to have some truth to look at. Yeah, your King James Bible, not your preacher guy, not me, your Bible. Properly divided. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse. I mean, how many people wanted their prayers answered and fell for that stuff and prayed in his name and believed and the whole thing, and it didn't happen? They were beguiled, they were deceived. Okay, now these words, these good words and fair speeches, according to 2 Timothy 2:14, look at how serious this is. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charge them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. These words that people are trying to teach and preach, those words, those fair speeches, those good words, those flattering words, those words spoken by these great TV radio personalities, there's no profit in them. What does come out of those words? Subverting of the hearers. So there's two things there. There's three and there's four. They have no profit. And they subvert the hearers. First, let's look at that no profit thing. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Why? Well, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You read this rightly divided King James Bible, and God is speaking to you. But these fair words, fair speeches, and all these words that's coming across the pulpits and all these books people are buying today, they may understand the problem of the. It doesn't take much of a brain to understand what's wrong with America. But what's the right thing? Turn to Jesus? Turn to Matthew? No, you don't turn to that Jesus. You turn to the risen Jesus through Paul. Same Jesus, but different times. So these words have no profit. You read these different Bibles, and they're not going to work in you if you're a Christian. They're going to seem dead. They're going to seem like man's words. Well, I can't understand the King James Bible. Why not? Fifth graders can. Oh, the ye's and the yeas and the these. That's not hard. The ye, anything with a Y is plural. Anything with a T is singular. What's so hard about that? It's about the only thing that sounds Bible-ish is the these and the thous and the yeas and the yees. Well, there's reasons for those. Americans put in you, the word you, which can be singular or plural. You never know. It's amazing. Okay, look at Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 8, actually. Even Jeremiah, I love Jeremiah, because he had the same problem. He tried to tell his God's people that they were ignoring God's words. In those days, the words, they had scriptures. They didn't have Paul's scriptures, of course. They didn't even have the Gospels. But they had the scriptures, and they had prophets. And Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 8, the same thing we're doing today, they did then. And he said in verse 8, behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. He says in verse 4, trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Now we have people, trust ye not in lying words, saying, this NIV, this RSV, this ASV, all these Bibles are God's word. No, they're not. They're not the words of the Lord. And you're trusting in lying words. And there is no profit in there other than to the devil by having you deceived or beguiled. And or 2 Timothy 2:14 also says to subvert the hearers. It'll subvert of the hearers. It says, what is subvert? Now listen to this. Subvert. That's a serious word. I'm not sure what the new Bible say, but they better say subvert. No, the new pretend Bibles. I'm sure they have a different word in there. To overthrow from foundation. Sub. Go down to the bottom and destroy them. Do you know people that have quit the Paul thing? They don't just quit. They get angry. And they want to make you pay. And it's they get subverted. These people that are out there, they're overthrown from their foundation. To ruin utterly. To corrupt, to pervert the mind and turn it from the truth. 2 Timothy 4:4 says that. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What's coming across the pulpits and the schools, Christian schools, everything today? Fables. Lying words. What do these Bibles have? Lying words, but they're good words. And preachers come up with fair speeches. And they have to have a lot of man's wisdom in there, you know, because they've been to school. They're flatter people. So, but those things are subverting people. They're destroying them from the foundation. You get rid of a King James Bible, and that's the foundation. You've lost everything. I thought Jesus Christ was a foundation. Yes, he is. And Paul's a master builder. Do you have the real foundation? Or do you have another foundation? Do you have Jesus Christ, the real one? How did you get that? Well, the King James Bible, is it the Word of God? Is it the gospel of your salvation? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Because if it's not, then you don't have the foundation. I'm just looking at scriptures. That's all I'm saying. So these words, these good words and these fair speeches, enticing words, etc., etc., they'll deceive us. They'll beguile us. There's no profit in them. And they subvert us. They destroy us from the foundation. Get rid of that foundation. Get rid of that Jesus. Get rid of that risen Jesus. Get rid of that King James Bible. Go by feelings. Go by your pastor. Go by whatever makes you feel good. You'll be beguiled. Okay, let's keep going here. Now, we're going to go to 2 Peter, believe it or not. And we're doing this because we're not in the tribulation. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt, these books are tribulational books. But what we'll see here is we'll see what it says in 2 Peter chapter 2. We will see that something that will be happening during the tribulation is already starting to happen more and more and more. And that's my point, these next couple of things. See, we still learn by going to the Gospels. We still learn by going to the tribulation books. We still learn by going to the Old Testament. But we don't apply those things. That's all. We go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, and we see this, where it says, "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words," those are those make-up words, "make merchandise of you." Merchandise of you. In other words, you're going to be used. You're going to be used. Isn't it amazing? Is that happening today? They're making money off of you? Look at the bookstore stuff that's going on. Just you. You're being used by people. "And many shall follow their pernicious ways," destructive ways is the word, "by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." What's the way of truth? Paul. What's the way of truth during the tribulation? It's not Paul. But what are people doing today? Well, they're actually speaking the way of truth. They're speaking evil against the way of truth. Well, it happens to be that the way of truth is Paul right now, and I know Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. I know that, and that's exactly what he is. But Paul is our apostle to Jesus Christ. And what ways are supposed to be taught in every church, according to Paul? He taught this to Timothy. Paul's ways. What are Paul's ways? Paul's ways are the risen Savior's ways. Not Jesus' ways from the gospel. Those ways are different. Those are to the Jews. They had to give up everything they had to follow him. And on it goes. So they'll make merchandise of us. They'll follow their pernicious, their destructive, their evil ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness, what is America famous for? What are Christians famous for? Coveting. You want somebody, they always want something else. So because of that intense desire that we want to we want to we covet stuff. So because of that, they'll come up with these feigned words called commercials, I suppose, and they'll make merchants. They'll use us. This is happening in the churches more and more. Feigned words, covetousness. Listen, come to this church and we will do for you, we will give you, blah, 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 blah. And the way of Jesus Christ through Paul, that's false. And they come up with these words to use the people in that little church family. And why can't, what's the first thing they say when you leave the church? Oh, we need you here. Yeah, I didn't know that. What do you need me for? Money. Okay. Anything else? No, not really. We just need your money. We want to get everybody saved. What about feeding that baby that you had? Don't you feed him? Paul is our master builder. Paul is the one we're supposed to build from. Paul teaches us about the risen Savior. Anyway, that was number 5. Let's go to number 6, which is 2 Peter, again, chapter 2, again, down to verse 18. Now, this is getting more, this is what's going on today. It's not the time we're in, but this stuff is happening in a growing process. It really is. We're getting closer and closer to the tribulation, even just based on these things. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, here's what they do. They allure through the lust of flesh. Does that happen to us? Sure it has. They allure. Allure is to attempt to draw. It's to tempt somebody by the offer of something good. They're going to try to sweet taste it so we can come to it by flattery, enticing words of man's wisdom, etc. They're going to get us to come. They're going to allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. See, we don't claim that. We don't claim that we have escaped from them who live in error. We don't claim in verse 20 that we've escaped the pollutions of the world. We can't. Us men have to work out in it. You ladies, if you're doing the right thing, you're trying to train your children. You're fighting the world all the time. However, there's wantonness is sportiness, frolicsome, fun, basically, negligence of restraint. Lust of the flesh through much wantonness, through much fun. The word fun, I still think, is a horrible word. Now, when you look at what's going on in the time of the sexual revolution and all the things that have happened over the years and the commercials and the pictures and everything is just sexually oriented, it's absolutely everywhere you go. And the three words that show up in Paul's writings and even in Peter especially, but even in Paul's writings, is wantonness, lasciviousness, and concupiscence. And they're all three of those are relating to unnatural sex, unnatural desire, unnatural drive. And they show up by alluring people through their flesh. And we know Paul says that Romans chapter 7, Paul fought the flesh by fighting that he wanted to serve the law of God. But what he did was he served the law of sin with his flesh, which is why we have to be spiritually circumcised, cut away from our flesh. That makes sense. It all fits. And yet what's happening is as we get closer and closer to the tribulation, people are going to make merchandise of us more and more. They're going to allure us by flesh and by coveting. And lasciviousness, wantonness, and concupiscence is all over the place. Sex all over the place. Everything. Unnatural everywhere. And it's going to get worse. You got the queers. You got the gays. You got the perverts, the sodomites, call them what you want, but that's an unnatural thing, and that's growing greatly. And they're being allured through their flesh. They're fun. People are allured through fun, sportiness, frolicsome. They just have a good time. Paul tells us we're supposed to be sober-minded. This is serious stuff that's going on. You know, just think about it. Take a general back picture and look at what people do when they're camping and swimming and going to games and all this kind of stuff. And really, what's going on? Well, the Antichrist is deceiving all these millions of people, and the Antichrist is about ready to come, Revelation chapter 6, and they're out there playing around. not being serious at all, not being sober-minded at all. It's like the hurricane thing. Well, we know that the weather forecasters and the government kind of went overboard, which is nothing new, just to cause fear in everybody. But still, you're sitting on the beach and you know there's a storm coming. And they're just playing a good time. Now we show pictures of people are being swept off into the ocean. Well, duh. Didn't you know that storm was coming? You could have at least gotten off the beach. I mean, come on. So we are being allured. We are being tantalized with physical, fleshly pleasures. All things are lawful, that's true, but not if it's for an occasion for the flesh. And we shouldn't be doing that. Is it a sin? No, it's a bad work. It'll burn the judgment seat of Christ. So then what's the problem? Well, the problem is you're messing up your testimony. The problem is God looks bad to people because they know that you're a Christian. You're out there doing something you weren't doing a year ago or whatever. And they know you're just a fake. There's a bad thing to our testimony. There's things going on in this Christianity that the world says, well, I kind of thought Christians weren't supposed to do that. Well, there was a time that we didn't do that. But somehow we got rid of Paul. Well, we know how. If you William Carey, the father of modern missions, and the Great Commission came along and just really overpowered Paul's teachings, and now we've got people who think they're following Jesus, and they're not. They were allured. They were flattered. But they've been subverted down to their foundation. There's no profit in these words today, and people are being beguiled because they're being taught fun. And in the meantime, they're teaching you, why did you go to that church? Well, we know he's teaching us a lie, but gee, it sure is a good place to go to. I got to go to something. You know what it is? You're being beguiled. Anyway, let's keep going here. Mark chapter 7, verse 13. Mark? Yeah, same thing. This is stuff that'll be going on. This is what he taught to them. And we do it today, only in a different manner. Mark chapter 7, verse 13. He says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. So this tradition thing here. Let's go to Colossians 2:8. Makes the word of God ineffective. Of none effect. Ineffective. Colossians 2:8. Let's look at Colossians. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. Tradition. This is just how we've always done it. Well, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let me show you something here. Tradition exists. It just does. Even Paul says, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. You see, if we're supposed to mark the good and mark the bad people that don't follow Paul, well, what do we follow? What he taught us are traditions, really. We can all do the same thing. It'd be very traditional to follow Paul. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We just did that. No, wait, verse 6. Now we commend you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which you received of us. So yeah, Paul teaches us the right things to do. But if we're not careful, that even that tradition, people can take Paul's teachings from risen Savior about what pleases man, what pleases God, and the manner of life, we can turn that into a list of traditional rules that if you follow those, you can be a Christian. No, not at all. You try to follow those because you're a Christian. And if we're not careful, even those things can render, you know, God's words, make God's word of none effect to us. We're so caught up in doing the right thing that we don't understand anything about the risen Savior. Anyway. Three more quickies here to go. How are we doing for time? We have plenty of time here. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19, verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Okay, now that makes total sense. The thing you remember was in Proverbs, Old Testament, the instruction they heard was the law. Now, if we're going to apply that to ourselves today, which we can indirectly by saying, well, we need to realize that we need to hear what Paul teaches. And if we don't follow what Paul teaches, we'll err from God's words. And that's how you still learn from the Old Testament. You still see the difference. But see, we're doing the same thing that they did. Those people erred because they didn't stick to what God taught to them. So they erred. Well, we have a King James Bible. Rightly divide that thing. And if you don't, you'll err. You'll err. Now look at 2 Timothy 2:18. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2:18. 2 Timothy 2:18. We're looking at these words will cause us to err. 2 Timothy 2:18. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. These are guys that Hymenaeus and Philetus, and these are all these people that reject rightly dividing in verse 15. So you reject rightly dividing in verse 15, you will follow profane and vain babblings, and you will increase into more ungodliness, and you will err from the truth. Great words, good words, fair speeches, subverting people. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. We know this one. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Our love of money today is killing us. It causes us to err from the faith. Look at verse 2 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 21. Same thing. No. We want verse 1 Timothy 6:21. Oh, yeah, okay. It ties up all the way back into verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. Then it goes down to verse 21 because they talk about avoiding profane and vain babblings, which is wrongly dividing the scriptures. It says, which while some professing have erred from concerning the faith. So you don't rightly divide your Bible, you'll err from the faith. Rightly dividing will point out whether those are the right words or the wrong words. So, number 7 was that one. Number 8 was cause people to err. Number 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Got one more to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Again, this just encourage me. It seems like none of us, we're just not going to stop doing things because we're hearing the sermon. This is going to explain to us why we have gone where we have gone over the years. This is why people are losing the desire to hear from Paul. These are why people are losing the desire to read from a King James Bible. These are people that are deciding to go to a crummy church instead of either go to no church at all and do one by yourself, or no, they go back to church because they still got it. This is why what's happening to us is what's happening. This is why Romans 11:22 says that there's going to come a time that people are not going to be sticking with the goodness of God through Paul. And one of these days, God's going to say, okay, I'm done. I gave you a chance, Gentiles, to have it all. And you rejected Paul, you rejected my King James Bible, that which is perfect has come, and the rapture comes, and now you got 7 years of the tribulation, and then he comes back and deals with things. That's the way it's going to go. Now, the last two here, number 9, is 1 Corinthians 1:17. And that one says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So this word wisdom stuff, these fancy smancy preachers, they're killing the effect of the cross of Christ. Made none effect. Now let's look at this pretty close, because it's pretty interesting here. Look at what's the first word of verse 17? For Christ sent me not to baptize. Look at 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. 19. For it is written, Each one of those starts with that preposition. Is that a preposition? Is the word for. It's looked at as a conjunction. But it's bringing them all together. So how can this kill, how can this make the cross of Christ be made of none effect? Isn't that the same thing as the Gospels then? No, it's not. Not at all. Let me show you something here. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Paul preached about the crucifixion. Well, sure he did. But he's talking about lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. What are we talking about here? Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Paul uses crucifixion even regarding our flesh. Don't you wish you could crucify our flesh and say no every time our flesh wants to do something? Every time our flesh wants to do something that's wrong? We're supposed to crucify that flesh. Well, we all don't, do we? Aren't we glad for God's grace? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 again. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now let's go all the way down to verse 23. This is where Paul says, but we preach Christ crucified. Now, it's not just the fact that they're preaching the cross of Christ, but they're preaching cross. Or they're preaching Christ what? Crucified, past tense. So Paul isn't preaching the Gospels where the crucifixion takes place. He's preaching about Christ being crucified. It's already been done. Now he's risen. See the difference there? We preach Christ crucified. He's risen. Now to the Jews, it's a stumbling block, but to the Gentiles, it's foolishness. So we're dealing with people that think looking at the words of the risen Savior is foolish. Look at Galatians 2:20. When it's coming, Galatians 2:20. The pages are so thin here. I am crucified with Christ. With Christ. Okay? Past tense, but nevertheless I live. Why? Because yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's not the gospel of Jesus. I mean, that's still Jesus. But this is the risen Savior. Crucified. Past tense. We're past that. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lusts. So how come the flesh keeps coming back to bite us? Well, because we give it life. But you still look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. So we're still preaching the cross. We just don't harp on the beginning, before it, and during it. We're talking about a risen Savior. Matthew Bach wrote, Johann Sebastian Bach wrote this great big oratorio called the St. Matthew's Passion. Well, which is, you know, fantastic music and all that kind of stuff, et cetera, et cetera. And it's got biblical words, King James, but the whole thing. And it gets to the done, he's still on the cross. This whole thing is over. He's on the cross. No, but come on. The Savior's off the cross. He's been crucified. So let's preach Christ crucifixion, but let's preach Christ crucified, which means we preach the risen Savior. That's what Paul's doing. It's amazing. And then the last one, look at 3 John. Again, this is happening more and more. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to these books to prove that this is where we are today, but we're getting closer. Look at 3 John, verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, what which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. There's those malicious words again. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. So we're looking at the word prating. I remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us. So during the tribulation, those that have the truth and are trying to walk the law and have the Spirit of God upon their flesh, the world will prate against them. Okay? Same thing's happening to us. The more and more we stand stronger with Paul, the risen Savior, the more and more people are prating against us. Now, what is prating? Prate, P-R-A-T-E mean? It means to talk much without purpose. To talk much without weight. To run on. To utter foolishly. Trifle talk. They just trifle with us. They're just talking foolish with us. They don't have anything behind what they're saying. They don't dare get into it. I hate to use the word deep conversation, but because Paul isn't deep, but to them it would be very deep. So we just kind of took a gander this morning of not just what's happening and how to be careful for our sakes, but what's happened to us and to other people. These words, good words and fair speeches and enticing words of man's wisdom and these flattering words and these feigned words and these swelling words of vanity that are spoken by great personalities and nobody knows that they're malicious, vain, and perverted, these words will deceive us. They will beguile us with fun and entertainment, enjoyment. They will have no profit. There's no profit in them. It will subvert, which will destroy the people that follow those words. It will destroy them from their foundation up. You ever wonder why something is obvious, if something says in the Bible, they can't get it? Well, because they've been subverted. Their foundation has been destroyed. They'll make merchandise of us. They'll allure God's own people into doing wrong. And it renders God's words of none effect, ineffective. And these words will cause people to err. And they'll kill the effect of the cross of Christ, because it does have an effect on people. And they will prate against us with just wasted words and blowny little nothing words that mean nothing and has nothing to do with the issue, has nothing to do with what Paul says, has nothing to do with the right thing to do. Just moronic little words that keep us going into the false way. So again, those aren't the things to worry about as much as they are. This is what's happened to us. We're part of the falling away too, you know. But we're trying to get back up again to the King James Bible, rightly divided through Paul, God's only apostle today. We're trying. And the battle is intense. The devil hinders Paul. And if he has to hinder us to hinder Paul, he'll do it.